Heavenly Father, as we get ready to open your word, we pray that you will open our ears and open our hearts. For we are 1,000 times more needy to hear your word than you are in need of hearers. Lord, be kind to us in this. Continue to shape us, for we are your people, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen. Amen. Scripture reading today, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection or compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude or this mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thus far, the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Andy, thank you for that vigorous amen. I appreciate that. Well, this passage includes a lot of ifs, I-F. I'm going to add one more. What if there was a group of people who behaved in this way? What if there was a congregation that smelled like this and acted like this? What if Church of the Triumphant King acted like this? And before somebody says, well, what makes you think we don't? Well, because I have a like nature as you do. So the sermon title is, What If? If is one of the biggest little words ever. And to demonstrate this, I would like to refer you to two children's books. If you give a mouse a cookie. You know this book? You like this book? Okay, when you're little, when you get older, you're going to like it again. If you give a pig a pancake, if you give a moose a muffin, those are the other ones in the collection. Well, you know what happens if you give a mouse a cookie. If is a big word. Well, that mouse is probably going to ask for some milk. Then he's going to want a straw, and then he's going to want to check to see if he has a milk mustache. Looking in the mirror, he's going to see he's got one little mouse hair popping up. Then he's going to want to trim all of his mousy hairs. One thing leads to another. Bless you. If is one of the biggest little words around. If you give a mouse a cookie. But there's another one. In 1960, this book was published. Joanne Stover. If everybody did. This is a great book. If everybody did. It starts with, okay, if there's just one person, that's somebody. But if there's all these people, that's everybody. And what would happen if everybody did what you did? So it goes, what if everybody would make tracks or spill tacks? What if everyone would jump in the mud? What if everyone would slam the door or stomp and roar, squeeze the cat, forget your hat, step on dad's feet or change your seat, smudge or eat all the fudge? You get the idea. What would happen if everybody did? So I'm going to ask the question again. What if you found a congregation like this? What if everybody did? It's not just being a grandparent that brings you right back to these children's books. I don't want to forget these. But the passage before us is loaded with ifs. If there's any encouragement in Christ. If. Waiting. If there's any consolation of love. Is there? If there's any fellowship of the Spirit. If any affection or compassion. Then do this. What if there were a group of people who behave this way? We just heard in your prayers of the church, make us the kind of congregation that can be pastored. What if the scratch and sniff was done here? And you thought, you know what? May we all be this way. Or, you know what, we're not. Lord be merciful, we've got a ways to go. If you found a congregation like this, I suggest to you that it would be both attractive and intimidating. It'd be attractive. You'd be drawn to it. You'd go, I got to get me some of that. It's not just that moths are drawn to the light. God's children are drawn to the light. If you were this way, if we were this way, you wouldn't have to worry about what comes down the road after you give a mouse a cookie. It would be attractive, but it would also be intimidating for fear that I or you or we would be exposed. I'm not that way. And if I get close to those people, the light is going to shine so brightly that it's going to reveal, I got something on my face. Or I don't smell like that. They're going to know me for who I am. We'd be exposed as frauds, as failures. Now, perhaps you might be sitting there looking at this passage or having heard it. You know, that's actually not even possible. Not going to be possible. It's fake. And that's because we base all of this upon our own experience and our expectations. Well, if you knew the Christians that I had met, or if you really knew the Christian that I see when I look in the mirror, perhaps you are more accustomed to looking at the church and focusing on all of her warts and blemishes, scars. And by the way, when sinners are present, and we are, and when sinners are present and looking around, we're good at this. We are a target-rich environment. What happens when we see something that's nasty is we lean in with our interest. We go, wow, they are a train wreck. And then we get together with somebody, we'll have a bite to eat, and we'll go, did you know what so-and-so did? I'd never do that. What is it that gets our attention in the Bible? Oh, later on in the book of Philippians, you're going to run into two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche. They've been squabbling, and their names have been preserved for years now. What do? We go, oh, yeah, yeah, look at Euodia and Syntyche. And then sometimes we moralize it. We go, don't be like that. Well, what am I supposed to be like? Or we think of Alexander the coppersmith. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, he did me much harm. And we go, ooh. I think I know an Alexander the coppersmith. Or we might go, I know Cletus the blacksmith or something like that. And what we do is we try to pigeonhole these people because they're worse than me. If there is any encouragement in Christ. Later on, there's a guy, we're going to refer to him named Diotrephes. He loved to have first place. Pick me, pick me, pick me. He had to be first place. And you know what he did with other people? He shuffled them off to the side. Talk about Diotrephes a little later. Problems in the church? Oftentimes what you'll do is you'll use the pastor as a scapegoat. Because you think it's a Major League Baseball team. If we just get rid of the manager, we might actually win a game. Oftentimes, it's the pastor that's in the crosshairs. And it's not the pastor, it's somebody else in the congregation. It's usually something else. It's someone else. Other than you or me or us, that church is not nearly as good as our church. Pick, 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 pick. Church people are skilled at finding the problem and pointing it out. We all have advanced degrees, and sometimes our children learn this at the breakfast table. If there is any encouragement of Christ, in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection, compassion. A London newspaper once asked a number of authors a question. What's wrong with the world today? G.K. Chesterton responded simply, "Dear sir, I am. Yours, G.K. Chesterton." What would happen if you smelled that way? Maybe we just rather like seeing the failures of others. Because it takes the focus off of ourselves. So again, that very first verse. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. Okay, I want that. I'm attracted to it. What do I do? Then, look at the next verse. Verse 2. Make my joy complete. By being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Paul is saying, why don't you start rowing in the same direction? Your shell, your rowing boat, is going to have weaker links. Welcome to the body of Christ. Not everyone is going to be an elbow. Someone might be an ankle. Start rowing in the same direction. By the way, you all already know what this is like. What does marriage look like? It looks like people in union who are not the same. In marriage, do you find complete agreement in the details or in the direction? We've mistakenly looked at this. We need to be precisely on the same page with all of these little details. No, you need to be on the same page, rowing in the same direction with regard to the direction. What about the disciplining of children? Sometimes a father is a tad too stern, or so I've heard. Sometimes it is considered that a mother might be too gentle. And then as John Angell James refers to, they tend to compensate for the perceived weaknesses of the other. She's too gentle, I'm going to get harder. He's too hard, I'm going to become more gentle. But you know what? The goal is the same, to train that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And you know what? We are to behold the kindness and the severity of the Lord. It's not to justify sinful severity, nor is it to justify gooey graciousness. No. Start rowing in the same direction. If these things are present, then do this. How can I start to do this, to be of the same mind? Do I actually have anything to learn from anyone else in here? Or do I have a case of Christian arrival-itis? Yeah, I think I got this one. So sick of that bumper. You got this. No, you don't. You're a bag of wet cats. You don't have this. So we look at this. If there's any encouragement, if there's any consolation, if any fellowship, affection, compassion, then make my joy complete by working together. How do I do that? Well, the next verse, it comes with some avoidances, some stayaways. And we all know this already. How is it that I can start working with someone else? I've got to stay away from the glory of my agenda. Pastor's going to show up here, and he's going to be learning along with you, and you're going to be learning along with him. And if you're coming up going, got to be my way, my way, my way, my way, all of a sudden, you're forcing other people to back away. Verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. See, I'm not all that. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Look at someone else and go, they've got something to offer that I cannot offer. My wife has always been able to do things that I've never been able to do. Thank God for our differences. Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Active, do this. We go, no, you know what? I want the encouragement in Christ, but I don't want to do that. I want there to be a consolation of love and fellowship of the Spirit, but I am not going to work with those people. Start saying no to yourself. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. Hold the door open for someone else. We walked up today carrying some things and a lovely young lady came scampering to the door, holding the door open. And then someone who is not a young lady, a fella, said, can I help you carry any of that? Thank you. You thought of someone else. Well done. Outdo one another in showing honor. We do this by avoidances. You know, there are certain things I'm going to put away. You know Ephesians 4 pretty well. If you're in Christ, let the one who stole steal no more. Stop the stealing, but instead work with his hands so that he might have something to provide for those in need. Stop the stealing. Oh, what about your speech? Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Put it away. Stay away. Avoid it. But instead, speak those things that are good for necessary edification. Not that, this. We know it already. First Corinthians chapter 6, there's all this issue about lawsuits in the church. And Paul actually says, why not rather be wronged? Answer it. Because I'm right. I'm right. And they need to know that I'm right. Brothers and sisters do this. That's not fair. Is there any encouragement in Christ? Any? I want to just show me some. Just a little poquito, just a little bit. Any consolation of love? Or is it always has to be, well, I'm right, Mom. I'm right, Dad. That they're wrong. Why not rather be wrong? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What about Luke 17? It is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come. It's impossible to avoid them. Stumbling blocks is the Greek word scandalon. You're going to be scandalized. You're going to be bothered. Welcome to the arena where there needs to be a call for encouragement in Christ, consolation of love, fellowship of the Spirit. Right here. And then you go, well, I don't want to do that. Check, please. I'm out of here. And the reality is we can't do this perfectly. Not once. And that's why we have this tendency to look under other people's toenails. Gosh, that's dirty and they stink. We can't do this perfectly, but Christ has done it. So that's why verse 5 says, have this mind in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this attitude in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus. Start looking to Christ. How is it that you're going to provide encouragement in Christ? Consolation of love, fellowship of the Spirit? Start looking to Christ. Stop looking at yourself. You're a mess. And I share that with you in the love of Jesus. Focus on Christ. Look here. And the rest of this passage, it's for us. Take a look. The rest of this passage unpacks this looking at Christ. Who was Christ? I'll tell you who he was. He eternally existed in the form of God. It's who he's been eternally. But he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped and held on to. He let go. He held on loosely and actually let it go. And when he was reviled, he didn't revile in return, but he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. 1 Peter chapter 2. We don't need Kierkegaard's king and maiden. We have Christ. Verse 7, he became less. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. He became like us. Verse 8, how much did he become like us? He became dieable. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Passages before you. The Spirit has been given. The call is upon each one of us. And every time we stumble and trip with one another, with a pastor, with another congregation, look to Christ, who's done all of this for us. And we once again learn that the way up is the way down. We learn again that the first among you shall be servant of all. And I will end with this. I wonder where we are in this passage. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into the vineyard. We're going, yeah, got a job. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Hey, you want a job? Yeah. He said to those, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour. And he did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, pert near the close of the working day, he found others standing around. He said, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" They said, "Because no one hired us." He said, "Well, you too go into the vineyard and get to work." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. Woohoo! Day's wage. When those hired first came, I wonder where we are in this. I thought I'm going to receive more. But they also received a denarius. And when they received it, what did they do? They grumbled at the landowner. What did they say? They had to point it out. And you know what? They were right. They were right. Just like Billy and Susie squabbling. One's right. "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as I gave to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?" Jesus then said, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and compassion, take a look and trust the Lord. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen."